this song, I hear the eagle scream, it's because the song pertains to Jehovah's eagle. Alright, and every time people in the message talk about the eagle, alright, we are eagles and so on, and we're not chicken in the barnyard and stuff like that. Okay, but there's so much squabbling and argument over the doctrines, you know, in the end time message. And that's why my wife said, I think what kind of eagles are you all? All very fierce eagles. You know, all quarreling about, you know, screaming out and all these things. Where is that dove? And that strikes me. And that's why I create this logo here. Alright? And then remember what Brother Bram said, the eagle scream, let the dove lead. So I use this now. And this become our logo that a lot of people are trying to visualize it. Alright? So they try to change some things and that. I say, hey, in fact, somebody was using this whole eagle on your website. I said, that's mine. Don't do that. Because you are not associated with me. My teaching is not. You don't agree with my teacher, so don't use this. This is mine. Alright? So they remove it anyway, you know. And some of them wanted to use it and they want to change it around. I said, well, you can change someone around, but don't use the exact. And even Brother Knight used this, but he made the dove flapping the wings a lot. Okay, I mean, you see. So the second stanza when I wrote it was based on this. Okay? Let the dove lead. So let us sing it. And I really thank God for this truth, because knowing what we are in the end time, not only that we are getting to get the message of our Jehovah God, but we also want that the Spirit of the Lord leads us. You know, without the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life, we are nothing. Doctrines without character, without true life, you know, expressing, is nothing. You can know all the doctrine, as Paul said, I can know all the doctrines, I can know all revelation, I can pass them all these things, you see. But without charity, without love, what is it? Nothing. But something, you know, empty symbol, that's all it is. I mean, empty vessel. Alright, let us sing this song. I hear the eagle scream. I hear the midnight cry. Father, we thank you for this morning, at this new time now. We thank you for your love for us, O Lord. Yes, Father, we have heard the eagle scream. And we are flapping our wings, O Lord, to fly to where you are, because you are calling us home to you. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us a token, because it is thy Spirit, O Lord, that lead us in thy word. We may have, or claim to have, Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we know, Lord, if we have, it is your Spirit that lead us into your word. Into every revelation that you want us to know. As much as this life pertains to, as long as we live on this earth, Father, that we continue to walk in the light and that you lead us into that truth, Father. We thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessing now as you approach thee for thy word. That, Lord, you open our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You be seated. Alright, get over to the PPT now. We know what time is good. Oh, now we just want to deal and go back and recollect what we have. Alright? Alright, now, as usual, I want to talk about the beast. Our last teaching, we have dealt with the first beast. Okay? And just to recap, in Revelation chapter 12, about this woman, the wonders that John saw, in heaven, a woman crowned with a crown and a crew with the sun and the moon under her feet. And then there was another great wonder that came up. That's a great dragon, or the serpent actually. In fact, if I want to withdraw this, I want to remove the wings and the feet, because it's actually a serpent with seven heads. Alright, and this heavenly vision that was shown to John pertains to the spirit that is working. Alright, and we know that this great serpent with seven heads is none other than the kingdoms or the empire that stood before the Israel, the woman Israel, to try to destroy her seed. Alright, to try to destroy the whole nation of Israel. And so, of course, the first head is Egypt, second is Assyria, and the third is Babylon, fourth is Middle Persia, fifth is Greece, and the sixth is Rome. So these are the six heads. Alright, and the seventh head is right here that has ten crowns, that is Papal Rome. Alright, I hope you can see that. Can you all see it? Right, the screen here, Papal Rome right here. Alright, there's the seventh head. That's where it is. Alright, and we go next. Over here we have the Bible said about the first beast. Now what you see in Revelation chapter 12, okay, is telling us into history, showing to John how Satan tried to destroy Israel because Satan knew the prophecy that there will be a seed of Messiah born out of Israel. They will redeem, not in the nation of Israel, but redeem the Gentile people. Alright, but now here, in this vision here, in chapter 13 of Revelation, we see the first beast, and the Bible says that this beast came out of the sea. Alright, and he has seven heads also. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the seven. Of course, and I said this before, that I want to let you know this again. I always try to define or try to make people understand when we're looking at visions of prophecy. We take, for example, the Bible talks about the seven seal, or the book sealed with seven seals, right? And the Bible said Jesus Christ took the book out of the one who sits upon the throne and broke the first seal, the second seal, and so on. Is that right? Alright, now Brother Man came along in 63 and said how that angel came to him, and right, and to give to him the revelation of the seal. So when he went and preached, and he said, the first seal opened and second seal opened, alright? The seal is open, the seal is open. And the way he spoke it, people do not understand. He should have used the word, the first seal is revealed to us now. And so I want to invite people to try to define, make people understand. But yet, you know how the brother Raymond Jackson came around and started to, attack me and this, and the brother Stephen Martin came in Arizona, wrote him a letter, and said, Brother Jackson, Brother God is trying to make people to understand about the seal, how it works. First of all, there is always a three phase: an opening, a revealing, and a fulfilling. Is that all right? And that's what I want to make people to see, that there is an opening, a revealing, and a fulfilling. So now when we look at the beast, the same thing. The beast, what is a beast? A beast is an animal. Is that right? Okay. A beast consists of a body. Regardless whether he has legs or not, doesn't matter. He must have a body. A beast can be born without legs and tail. He must have a body. And he must have a head. You agree with that? A body comes out without a head, it's not a beast. What is it? It's a lump of flesh. So when you talk about a beast, the beast must first of all have a body. And with a body, it must have a head. Without a head, it cannot move. It's not living. You understand that? Now, the beast can have a body, it must have a body and a head, but it may not necessarily have horns. And I want to say this again, there is the body, the head, the horns. Again, the three things. The three separation of things. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? A beast may be born out with two heads. Right? But a beast cannot be born out with one head and later on grew another head. There is no way. And that's why I agree with all this interpretation of denomination, even in the entire message. Because you think if you do not understand nature, because everything in nature, if you want to show taps into the spiritual, you must understand. Do you understand that? Now, take for example, you are all born with five fingers in each hand, right? How many of you have six fingers? How many of you have? None of you here have it. Now, not every one of us have five fingers. Okay. Even the young ones right here, the youngest is Enoch. Am I right? In this fellowship. Oh, no. The little is older, the youngest one. Now, let me tell you this, my young friend. You have five fingers in each hand. 10 years down the road, you will see another finger start growing. Do you believe that it will grow out of your hand? No, of course not. When we are born with five fingers, we are born with five fingers. There's no another digit start growing out when we grow. That is not possible. Do you understand? You might have a baby born out with five, and you find a little one down on the side. That one, of course, will grow when the hand starts to grow bigger, right? It will grow a little bigger, obviously. So, you don't grow heads. You can grow horns. Animal can grow horns, obviously. Right? Little cow come up, born out, you can see little stuff, little things, the black note on the side. Then when it grows bigger, of course, the horn will grow. So like us, our hands when we are baby was pretty small, little cute little hand, right? Isn't it so? But when we grow bigger, the hand will get bigger, longer, obviously. And the fingernail will grow longer too. But you don't grow another head. One day I'll show you my other head behind my head. It's obviously nonsense. That's why I want people to understand the beast has a body, a head. Whether horns or not is up to you. Whether how many horns you grow is another thing. You see, so this is what I want to know. Okay, so now in this first piece that came up, so you need to know here. Oops, sorry. Okay, this is the first piece coming out of the sea. Now, in this that John saw in Revelation 13 is exactly what Daniel saw in his vision. Now, what Daniel saw was only concerning the time that he lived in, the beginning from the Babylonian Empire, then the Persia, Medo-Persia, Greek, and then the Roman Empire. Now, he didn't see the first two, which is Egypt and Assyria. Do you understand that? Because this is an earthly realm that God was showing Daniel. But look at this last part here. You see here, the Roman Empire, which is iron, there are all four divisions here. Then the fifth one, it is the iron and clay, which is the ten toes. Which is the end time. And this is the portion here that you're told, the toes of this image here. Okay? It's mixed with iron. So, you know one thing, the value of metal, gold, is, right? Okay, then silver, then bronze, then iron. This is metal gets lousy. Gets, what do we call that? The value of the metal is to say get worth less and less. And so, after the end of it, it's iron mixed with clay. Now, you know iron and clay don't mix. And this is what we are living now in this end time. We are living in this particular time. And this tentacle is what we see in that beast that came out of the sea in the book of Revelation. These ten horns. Okay? Because now, what we want to know is that this ten horn grew up from one head. Not on all two heads here, one horn here, two horns here. No, that's nonsense. That's some of the drawing that you see in denomination. Okay? You understand? Alright. So, there's only one head. We want to identify this head, where this horn comes up from. It must come from an empire. You understand? But the Bible in Revelation chapter 13 tells about this beast, as you already said. It has what we call, alright, let me just, let's go to Daniel chapter 7 first. I don't rush too fast. Because many of you will not be able to get to know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's hard. My young brother Luke, are you able to follow me? Okay, alright, good. Daniel chapter 7 here. Let's read it. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Here I want to show you this. Alright? Here's Daniel's vision. Okay? It says, I saw in my vision at night, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Now, when you talk about the great sea, it's all about Mediterranean Sea. It's known as the Great Sea. Okay? Now, Mediterranean Sea is where you have all these Gentile nations. The empire came up. You know that, don't you? All the activity, now, if you read the Bible, Old Testament, even up to the New Testament, everything is all about the Mediterranean, Middle East, Europe area. You know, we all know that. That's what we call the prophetic world. Today's day, we call it the old prophetic world. Okay? Now, civilization somehow start from there, because the Mesopotamian spread over to that region, and because it start from there, it's going to end up there. Do you understand? Alpha Omega, they say, start from there, still go back there. All the action will go back there in the end time. Do you understand? Because Israel was the centerpiece of God, of God's prophecy. Okay? From Israel, God take the gospel to the Gentile out of Egypt, out of Israel. Then he's going to go back again. And all that promise will pertain to the same area. So it's a Mediterranean Sea, it's all the Gentiles world. So this sea are storming, the winds are blowing, means there's a lot of raging, a lot of problems in that area. Obviously, you're going to read the history, a whole lot of problems in that area. I think there's more history of war and fighting in that area than in any other country. It's all about Israel. Israel is the country that caused the war, it seems. That's why a lot of people blame it on the Yahudi. You know, all what we call the problems of the war is all because of Yahudi, you see. You know, and some people make fun of the Jew, you know. They said that the Jew's nose is hooked. What did they hook? They hook money. And all that thing, the finance, the system is all topsy-turvy, is because of the Jew. That's why they sound fanatic. Death to the Jew, drive them to the sea, drive them into the Great Sea. That is the Mediterranean Sea. You know how the Iran Seven group drive them into the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? But people don't know that they are God's people. And they are intelligent, they are smart, because God has blessed them. And you know the race with the highest IQ, they are the Israelites. Nobody can beat them. You understand? You see? And as I said this before, all technology, most every technology, all discovery and research, everything, most everything, you will find a Jew behind it. You see? Alright? So, when we look at this vision, as Daniel said, this is all the problem there in that region, and in verse 3, the four great beasts came out from the sea, diverse one from another, all quite different. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof was plucked, and it was lifted up on the earth, made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to you. It talks about who? Nebuchadnezzar. It's about the Babylonian Empire. Okay, we're not going to history on that. Verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, raised up itself on one side, and he had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So the second one is a bear. And of course, it's one side more active than the other side, which is the Middle Persian. And the Persian is the one that more more tenacious. You know? Okay, Cloud 3, of course, the kingdom province at that time. Okay. Then next one it says, and these are beheld low and not like a leopard, which had upon the back of its four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and the dominion was given to it. And this third beast, the leopard, and forming like a fowl. Now this I had eagles, it means very swift. You know how maybe got Babylon conquered the people at that time was very fast. But this leopard also has wings, but it's not the eagles, but they are, you know, four wings of a fowl. I don't know if it's a chicken wings. When I thought chicken wings, don't go and think about McDonald's. Okay? And this leopard represents the Grecian Empire. Okay? Now, after the death of Alexander, his whole empire was divided into four generals. Okay. You don't have to worry too much about who the general is, okay? Let's go to the next one. And I saw, verse 7. After this, I saw in the night vision, behold, a four beast, dreadful, and terrible, and strong, exceedingly, and he had great iron teeth, he devours and breaks in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that was before it, and he had 10 horns. So this four beast, they came out, oh my, they're going to say, it looks terrible, iron teeth, and all this, then it got 10 horns, and it actually conquered all this, because this empire was conquered by Medo-Persia. Medo-Persia was conquered by Greece. And this is the one that took over everything. Huh? And that's the Roman. And the Roman Empire is the last of the empire. Before, from politics, it turned into a religious rule, what we call Papal Rome. Papacy. Okay, or the Holy Roman Empire. Okay, that's the one that, this is where we see this form. But watch over here. Watch here. Did you see the fellow here? Okay, we read from here, you understand. Verse 8. I consider the horns. There are 10, remember? And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horn plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So among the third horn comes out another little horn. But this horn wasn't even actually the 11th horn. It is. It's actually going out from the tenth. From one of them. And it plucked out three. And you know, it's very peculiar. I want to say something here. The number 10 is always in Rome. I just discovered it yesterday. I was just wondering why when you talk about Rome, always 10 horns, 10 toes, 10 these, you know? And then why did Israel, the Jew, always have a peculiar number like 12, 12, 12. Now, you know that, don't you? 12 tribes, 12 apostles, huh? And then the 10 always the Roman 10. Then I think, oh, now I begin to understand why 10, 10, 10. Because 10 is a metric number. You know, it's 10, right? 10 millimeter is 1 decimeter, and 10 decimeter is what? 1, oh, what's that? Decameter, what do you call that? 10 decimeter is one. It's one. What do you call that? A meter. No, cannot be. Oh, okay. You know, and then so, it's always based on 10, 10, 10. So I did a search on the internet, and true enough, and I said, I won't be surprised that this metric system was started by a Catholic church. And I went and looked at it, true enough, it was started by a priest in Lyon, France. And back in the 1670, he started it. You see, and no wonder back in the 70s when it's the 60s before I came out from the examines of God. When the world wanted to turn to using metric, the Americans said, no, that's the mark of the beast, that's the mark of the beast, no. 12 inches, 1 foot. You know what I mean? 3 feet, 1 year. People 1 year. 1760 something, I don't know what, it goes to what, 1 mile or something? I can't remember anyway. Of course, I forgot all about that. Because once I was a British, as an American, but now I'm not. Now I am a metric guy. Simple, you know, 10, 10, 10, right? Simple, you see. But the Americans said, no, it's the mark of the beast, and so on, so on. So the Americans didn't ever change. You found out 1 kilo, it's 1.1 kilo. 2.2 pounds. Oh, 2.2 pounds. You know. Remember we used to use ties and catties? How many ties one catty? You don't know what? 16 pounds one catty. Still do that. So at least you all still know. You see? But you know the world system all now is using metric system. So easy. Americans are still behind time. You know, they always like to be different. We drive on the left side, they drive on the right side. Right? Isn't it? The left is right and the right is wrong. They don't understand that. Alright, so when you consider this, there are only 10 horns here. And then he said that there's one that came up. And he has a eyes and mouth. You see what he says here? This horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, of course. It's a vision, huh? And he has mouth speaking great things. Who is this guy? We know that he later came to be the Roman, the church in Rome took over what you call the Roman Empire, okay, and proclaim himself Maximus. Pontifex Maximus. You see. And when he came to power, he actually controlled, removed three of the provinces. There are a lot of history about this thing. That happened very often. Let me just, okay, let me look at you here first. Here, look at this crown here. I mean, look at this horn here. There's no crown yet. Okay, so that shows that it's not yet been crowned, because this is still in the head, what we call ahead of Daniel's time, but already history to us. But if we look back, we know that it's already been fulfilled. All right, now, let me see. The person who, this we know it refers to the Pope, but it happens in the year 327 AD. Alright? And this little horn that came out, now all these are political horns. Remember, all these are political empire, huh? So was this, because this beast was none other than Rome. Okay? So all these are horns are all political, you know, power, like mayor of a place. So those are 10 provinces. Okay? But this little horn that came out from among them, as if there is a horn. But it's a religious horn. But it spring up from among the 10 within that 10 province, is one of them to spring up and take over. Okay? So now, knowing that this are not crowned, and this is not a political horn, but a religious horn. That's why it says that it has eyes and mouth to speak great things. Okay, and that's none other than the Pope. Alright, so in 476 AD, if you remember the chart, let's see if I have the chart backwards. Okay, it's below here. It's below, it's not given there. But in 476 AD, when the Roman Empire fell, to the invaders from the north. The whole of these 10 provinces, I mean, the whole empire were divided to 10 by these barbaric, invaders. So there are all of them 10, Anglo-Saxon, the Alemanni, Heruli, Vandals, Ostrogoth, Visigoth, Suevi, Lombard, Burgundy, and Frank, all this, you know. And then, when this little horn came up in 538 AD, he uprooted three horns. And these three horns, of course, according to history, were the Vandals, Ostrogoths, and the Heruli. Okay, but later on, a few hundred years later down, about 600 plus years to 754, there were again 10 kingdoms. Again, under the same area, the little horn also took away three kingdoms. And it happened very often. And then even in the 12th century, in the history that I've read about, there were three kings, Henry IV, Frederick I, and Philip II, had a confrontation with the Pope, and the Pope brought them under subjection and removed them. And it seems that the history will repeat in these numbers. Alright? So we know that little horn still exists today, and there's none other than the man of sin, which is the Pope. Okay. Now let us continue now. Let us go and look at this first beast again. Here is the first beast. Alright? Now, this thing come out, I don't know where you can see it now. Here we have the first beast rising out of the sea. Remember I said that the sea represents the Gentile world. Okay? Then you have the head wounded. We have done that and talk about it. When, how was the head wounded? You all remember how was the head wounded? It was wounded when Martin Luther King, religious side, Martin Luther struck a blow against the Catholic Church. Alright. And then, of course, later on in, when this French general came, Mattia, okay, he exiled the Pope. And later on, another couple more, few decades now, Napoleon Bonaparte came and crowned himself the cathedral. You know, and of course, this particularly dealt a blow to the beast. And he was wounded. So from the time of Martin Luther's action, and also this generous action, the characters kind of take a back seat. He's wounded. But he didn't die. Let us go right now to Revelation chapter 13. Alright. Alright, now this third horn has yet to be crowned. Alright, but of course I said it is crowned already, I just to show you, but before it was crowned, we know that it pertains to the European Union. And that's why you have the 10 toes. Half iron, half clay. And what we are looking at the European Union today, or the European Community Market, they're always quarreling. It's all about the finance, about the money, about the system. And of course, perhaps there are about 20 countries are signing up to be members. There are already, I think, more than 20 members, but there are others that are trying to join in. But the thing is that in the end result, there will be 10 of them that will actually be the power holder. They were given the power, the authority, the control. Okay? The whole beast. Alright, now in verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We know the four beasts, right? The first was a lion, and here you have a lion mentioned here. The second was a bear, so you have feet of a bear mentioned here. Okay, and it says the third was, what's that? The leopard. And you have the body of a leopard here. You see, so all this to show that you're all within this old ancient empire. What you see is this vision that John saw after more than 1,000 years later. Okay, it is showing to John that all that is going to come in the future is going to happen all in the same area that was the old prophetic world. Alright? It's not going to happen in other parts of the world. It's all going to be over there. Alright, so you can see the description of the beast itself. The leopard, well, you know, the swiftness of it is still in the same area. And the bear, of course, in the Tenacious City, and the, well, of the bear, the ferociousness of the bear as well. And then the lion, of course, the proud king of beasts, the roar, you pay attention, that sort of thing. Alright, so now in verse 12 of Daniel chapter 7, let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 12. He says here, enough just regarding the beast. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for his time and the season. Now, when this beast, when the four beasts take control, which is this beast with the 10 horn, okay? Or we will go back to this one. The beast with the 10 horn. Alright. Now, we know that all these are gone. This one, eat this one, this one, eat this one. And then this one, eat this one. So, they're all gone. But the thing is that in John's vision, they are all here. They are all here in the same beast. And today, all those three beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, their culture, their practice, the tradition, you still can find that in Europe. That's why he says, as according to the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a time in the season. I mean, you go to go over there, you see people are still very ancient, huh? Live the old way, eat some of the food that's very old, and some language are still used. Even though some language are dead, of course. Alright? Okay. Let's go to the next one, and here we also have that what the Bible says, John said that the dragon gave him power, and his seat with great authority. Alright. So here now we go on to the wounded head. The head was wounded. We know when it was wounded. And I want to show you this. This is a quote regarding the Pope. Why was the head wound in the first place? Was because when God showed Martin Luther the truth concerning the Catholic Church. Alright? And in history, it says here, according to a Catholic cardinal who wrote the book, the Catholic Church, the Renaissance and Protestantism, which is sanctioned by the Church. This is what he said. The Catholic Church has a horror of blood. Nevertheless, when confronted by heresy, she has recourse to force. He tell the Pope, that's heresy, they were idiot. But today, of course, you don't say too much. If I were to say a lot of things against the Catholic Church and post on the website, some Catholic sees it, I would be asked to sit down and confess that I will not do it one more time. Things like that. You know what? You see, because we live in a place at least should have some harmony, some respect, something like that, right? Correct now. Well, in certain countries, if you look at America, look at this. The fighting between these terrorists and against the free world. Right? Now, they can burn the American flag, they can burn the Bible, or they say anything against it over there. But when Americans burn the Quran and all these things, and oh my, there's a lot of fight. Well, some people will draw all kinds of funny caricature about Jesus Christ. Right? Now look, for example, this was Jesus Christ Superstar. Do you remember that? I don't know, what on earth is that? Is that Broadway show? Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus Christ Superstar. See, he's supposed to marry Mary Magdalene, right? Isn't it? Correct? So, did you see how they defiled the name of Christ. They demoralized Christ, so to speak. Correct? But do we Christians raise up our what? And try to kill them all? Or fight them all or what? No. But you know, in other religion, you will burn their religious book, you will say anything about their prophets or their religious men, they come after you. So why? Religion is very sensitive. You see? So you need to be careful what you talk about. So here we have freedom to say, but certainly we also do not say it. You know, but this is what over there in this back in history. These are facts you cannot run away. Alright, so a lot of people do not want to face fact. You want to know whether your religion is true? You better dig and find it and search for it. You don't just simply say, I'm born a Catholic, I die a Catholic. I'm born a Methodist, I die a Methodist. I'm born a Muslim, I die a Muslim. I'm born a Buddhist, I die a Buddhist. There's no such a thing as that. Because it's your soul. You don't follow your parents just blindly. Right? No wonder Jesus said, the blind leads the blind, and all fall into the ditch. So, if your soul is important to you, you want to find out, hey, where am I coming from? Where I came from? Where am I going? Who is really the real God? Because after all, there are so many gods, as if gods are many. There's no polytheism. Yes, you know, I mean, there's only monotheism. There's only one God. There's not as if God is many. Correct? Unless you are superstitious. You have a God for your front door, a dog for your back door, a God for your kitchen, right? A God for your toilet, a God for your bathroom, a God for your bedroom, I don't know, a God for your table, everything. Do you remember how specific people can be? I remember when I was young. Now some of you, I don't know whether you don't know about it. When I was young, when I go to school, when I buy a pair of new shoe, you know, white shoe, school shoe. What do you do to it? You know how many of you remember when I bought it? Those days when kids, when you hear people say, you take a shoe, you bite it. Bite the front and bite the back. If you don't bite it, you'll bite you. How many of you remember that? Yes. Huh? I know it seems to work, huh? You know, can you buy a new shoe? Because you know, a new shoe, when you pull away, you find it uncomfortable and you're pissed off. So the shoe is. So when you buy anyone, you better buy it first before you get it. So you know, superstition are like that. You see, so, well, as I said, it's all, you know, superstition is a religion too. Huh? The American, the Western world is that when you walk down a pub, a black cat run across a pub, you turn around, and you better walk in the opposite direction. You know, or never walk under a ladder. Right? And the Chinese, over here, when you want to walk out, make sure that you don't walk under a bamboo poles of females underwear. You will be cursed. You will be swayed. No luck. You know the Mama Holly talk about this? And people kind of grow up believing in that sort of thing, you know. You see, so we think about our soul. But this is what the Catholics should do. So nevertheless, when confronted by heresy, she has recourse to force to corporal punishment, to torture. Look at that. Huh? She creates tribunals like the Inquisition. Oh, I think that's a terrible time. Okay? She calls the laws of the state to read to her aid. Yeah, the character will call, you know, political side. As far as did she act thus in the 16th century with regard to the Protestants? In France, under Francis I, Henry II, in England, under Mary Tudor, she tortured, the church tortured the heretics. As J.A. Wiley wrote in History of Protestantism, the noon of the papacy was the midnight of the world. Terrible, huh? You see, when the papacy rises up to the zenith, that's noontime. It's the midnight of the world. A lot of death. Remember, 68 million people died under the hand of the Catholic Church. 68 million, no! Do you understand? It's not 6.8 million, huh? Do you know that? 68 million, you hear me? Not 6.8 million. Because in 2030, Singapore was 6.9. Not that many people will die. Not that. It's more than that. It's 10 times that. 68 million. So you know how many, that's a lot of people. Now all the 68 million, not all are Protestants. There are some that are hidden, some are just who do not agree with the culture. They are even put to death. Alright? Alright. Well, we thank God that Martin Luther came along and this French general came along and gave you a death blow. But he didn't die anyway. So, verse 4. They worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Obviously, they said, you look at people just worship the go to the Catholic Church and worship and believe that it is true. Alright, verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. We need to understand that there is a difference between the beast and the man. Now, as I said this before, let me just go back here. Alright? When you look at a beast, first of all, the body or the beast represents an empire. Right? Okay. For example, America is an empire itself. Okay, that's a beast. Okay? But it must have a head. A head is where you have your thinking. Alright. Now, when your head move, your leg move, your mouth move, you know, if your ear can wiggle, your ear, whatever. It's all because your head tells it to do. Am I not right? This is the government. This is the head governs the whole body. Now, without the head, the body is useless. So there must have a head, so the head is the government. You understand? So, but in the government, in the head, then it represents the government, but sometimes it's a person who becomes a dictator. It controls the head, so whatever he says, he is known as the head. Well, the head of state. Okay, America, who is the head? The Republican or the Democrat? It's not that, it is the president! He says, I want to press the red button. I press the red button. Correct? So he's the one who he should make a call, so to speak. You see. You understand, right? So in Singapore, our system is different. We don't have a president. I mean, we have a president, but he's not the one in charge. Correct? We have the prime minister. But the prime minister is not totally in charge of everything. And so you have, you know, all this control, that's why you have to bring in the president, whether you agree or not to agree, and so discuss all this sort of issue. Right. Okay, so we need to separate the man from the beast. Okay? Alright. When we look at this, the Antichrist issue thing, today, as I said, there are many churches, many Christians do not believe the Pope is the Antichrist anymore. They do not believe that anymore. But yet, evidence in the Bible, in history, prophecy, And all great men of God who have passed through, like Martin Luther, you know, John Wesley, who have passed through all this and knew and know. They knew back then that who this, what this Bible prophecy pertains to is talking about. But today, many of the preachers, they don't believe it anymore. They don't believe. They have changed. Because why? Because the wounded head was healed. And that's where ecumenism comes in. And so you unite the people together. All our verse said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name was not written in the book of life of the Lamb, save for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that lived into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killed with the sword shall be killed with the sword. And so this is thinking, talking about what is to come. Okay, now we go to the second beast. Verse 11. We go to the second beast. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and his spoke as a dragon. Oh, that's good. Okay, that's the next beast. There you are. Oh, that's the nice beast. It's not a lamb, because when I was in the denomination, I would say it's a lamb with two horns. But now the Bible doesn't say a lamb with two horns. Finally, I realized it is. Even in the Abraham message, everybody said the lamb with two horns. Brother Abraham said, lamb with two horns. And I said, no, it's not a lamb with two horns. You know, did he say lamb with two horns? I mean, the Bible, I'm not telling you. I mean, you know, don't take my word for it. It says here, and another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, not a lamb with two horns. He said, he has two horns that look like a lamb. Now, first of all, I must let you know, John is not an American. John is not an American. He was not an American. Okay? He was a Jew. Where was he? He was on Alabama. He was in the area. So, in that area, this animal doesn't exist to him. He never seen this animal before. You know what? I was watching the television on this documentary about the special square mile of sea up there in Indonesia. A square mile of sea that animal, only strange animal exists. You've never seen that. You're just unbelievable. It was so on CNN. It's unbelievable. It's no other sea area have else. Does this creature exist? Very strange. So obviously, now, if John saw a vision of a kangaroo, I mean, you don't see a kangaroo, right? So when you see a kangaroo, how do you describe a kangaroo? You must try to liken to something. You understand? Like John, when he saw the vision of this war machine, I mean, this thing doesn't exist in his time. Correct? So he had to describe it like a dragon with spreading fire, you know, smoke coming out from his nostril, you know. You understand? And vocabulary in those days are not as big as it is today. Today, I tell you, the vocabulary is filled with what? Your dictionary, what is it filled with? Gobbledygook. Right? You know what is it? You know, strange word that we don't see. You know, what do you call that? They have what you call this a sect. It's not text, sect. S-E-X-T. Sext. Yeah, sext. You're using new word coming out like that. What else do you have? What? I don't know, man. Even young this generation is killing me, old folks. With all the new technology, new word, new jargons. So, you don't have that kind of animal in John's day. Look at this little fella. Oh, it looks like a lamb somehow to John. You agree with that? And if you look closely here in the head here, alright, this is where, you see the tiny little thing, they are growing horns because they are young. But when John saw this, look at it. I mean, far away it looked like a, look at it, well, they are like a lamb, but it is big. He said, look, a fish that came up. Now, I want you to look, it says, watch. The second beast coming up out of the earth. The first beast came out of the sea. This one came out of the earth. Now in those days of John, there's only one sea that every time you know, the Great Sea, which of course today it is called the Mediterranean Sea. Right? You understand? I don't know who gave it the name Mediterranean Sea. In those days, they were called the Great Sea. Right? Just like they called Singapore back in those days, Temasek. And what's another name for it? Singapore? Some other name they call it. It's some kind of Nila or something. What's that Nila thing? Sanila or something. Okay. Sanila. I mean, you see, ancient times they have a certain name. But we keep changing. Now, of course, Temasek no more, huh? They called Temasek before, right? Then you become Singapura. Singapura becomes Singapore. Right. So now the name will change because, you know. So in those days, the Mediterranean was just called the Great Sea. Now you say, come out of the sea, this will come out of the land of the earth. So it must be a nation that come out not from a place that is known in the Bible. It must be a land that is foreign to John. Do you understand? Yes, sir, you're following me. Okay, that's what we see here. So you have two arms like a lamb, and his back as a dragon. That's little his figure as a dragon. So what country is this referring to? Now he doesn't have many heads. He only has just one beast with two horns, like a lamb horn. Okay? Now it's not a cow horn. It's not a bull horn. Now if you ever look at this horn of this, it's going this way, right? Yes? Right now, this way. But the bull horn is really a bit forward. Usually for fierce attack. Bull is always see something irritating out there, some movement. People think it's a red cloth. It's not a red cloth. You can use a white cloth and say, I surrender your charge and you also. Because they are just irritated by any movement. And they will charge. Alright? But this one doesn't charge. Okay? This animal, the bison, is actually very gentle. Actually very gentle animal. It's only when they are threatened, when a lot of people come around there, or you know, whatever is coming around, other animal come around there, they will all gather themselves around. And the big guy will circle all the outside facing the enemy. The mother, the old ones, and the little ones will be inside the circle. And they are ready to defend. They don't charge, they defend. But the bull, they don't defend, they charge. So the Bible said that they are horns like lamb. You know, lamb don't actually charge you, unless little one you're playful. If you ever have a farm where you have little lambs, you know, they are very playful to come here to butt you. Okay, but the mama one and the daddy one, they don't butt. Only the goat butt. The goat are the naughty one. Okay, so you see that. So you have two horns like a lamb. Now again, the word beast is from the Greek word therion, which means wild beast. So it's not a lamb. Lamb is not a wild beast, right? As you know why, when you look at the Bible, when you study a bit more, I realize it means wild beast. So it's a beast with two horns like a lamb. Not a lamb with two horns. So if the word wild beast is a wild beast, alright, because this, back in, before America was discovered, it is believed that there are 50 million. 50 million of this animal thundering across the plain, the prairie of America. The natives were there. The Red Indian people were there. You see? So, there are 50 million of these running across. Now, what happened to these bison? Many of these bison are all gone, except for, I don't know, a couple of 100,000 or tens of thousands left, I guess. Alright, so now when we said the beast that came out, coming out of here. So it must be from a land that is unknown to John that the seed that somehow is sown and this empire rise up. And there's only one empire that we know that actually fit this description. It is none other than America. None other than America. Okay? And how did it start? When Roman Catholicism ruled the world at that time in Europe. Many of those Christians are tired of the Church of England. They are tired of all these things that is going, so they migrate out of Europe and set sail to discover the land of America, Christopher Columbus and others. So they met over there in Mary Flower, I think the ship called Mary Flower, Flower Mary, or whatever, Mayflower, Plymouth, and something like that. So they ended up somewhere in Boston on the east coast of America. Oh, so they discovered that land. And what did they call that land? The Promised Land. So it's like, I mean, it's fantastic. It's a new land. It's like entering into Canaan land. You know. So they migrated there, and so America began to grow. It was in the year 1620. All right. Of course, at that time, they were quite peaceful. They settled everything, building an empire based on what? Based on the Bible. And what did you see in American dollars? In God we trust. Now today it's not in God we trust. What do they trust? In the black gold, in the oil. It's all about oil, or in gold we trust. In oil we trust. Maybe in Obama we trust. I don't know. What do you trust? Huh? You see, those days, if you look at it, you know, the early years, huh? You see one of those old movies, how the Quakers, the Amish people, you know, how they dress, how they live the life, so simple. Today, it's different. The world has changed. Okay, now, when you said the horns like it unto a lamb, it showed that they are gentle and benevolent. Huh? I said it without the word benevolent. Or
benevolent,
yeah, always benevolent. Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is anyone, like this one, America was when it grew. Okay? Alright, let's all look at the next one. Yeah, this is what John Wesley, can you see the bottom of that? Kind of hard for you to see. John Wesley said in 1754, he is not yet come, though he cannot be far off, for he must appear about the end of the first beast power. So, even though Wesley was there already, he know that this power hasn't rise up yet. But he said, for he must appear at about the end of the first beast power. So we know that in 1754, huh, when he said that. Okay? So when American was actually discovered was 1776. I mean, not that really discovered. I mean, they were discovered earlier, but they were
independent.
Became independent, yes, in 1776. So John Wesley, he knew this prophecy. That's why he said he's not far off. And by that time already, the beast already wounded. He said he lost his power. You know, because these people are running away from Europe. You know, after Martin Luther gave him a death blow to his head. Alright? So now, when we talk about the two horns, now they can have a lot of representation here. Okay? First of all, is one horn represents Democratic, the other represent Republican. That's a system they have. Another one is that one horn represents the civil system, the other represents the religious system. Huh? You understand that? Okay. Another one represents, you can say that one horn represents Republicanism. You know what Republic is? You know what a Republic is? Well, you know what Republicanism is? You know, Singapore is a Republic. Means to the referendum to the Republic. The public has a say. Okay? So that's why we are a Republic. So it means based upon what the people want. Okay? On the other hand, the other horn is Protestantism. So, of course, Republican is political, and Protestantism is religious. So, because America was founded by these pilgrims, so religion must have a say. And the religion is having a say. They are not Catholic. They are Protestants. I mean, Protestant doesn't mean they are Protestant. They know what Protestant means. A protest means I stand. You understand? My stand is on the word. That's why Luther is protest. My stand is upon this word. You see, that's why we get a word protest. People think, protest, protest. You know, my wife used to call this, my son and daughter when they were young, when they were protesting, they are protesting. So we don't want our protestants when they are protesting for this and that, you know. Okay, so I know a lot of young people, mom say eat this and say, no, I don't want it. So you are protesting. At least you are protesting, I call it. Yes, it's better than so that's the spirit of America. Okay, that's what the beast actually symbolizes. Good. One thing. Now, the second beast, the Bible says here, and he spake as a dragon. Now, what happened to America? 1776 became a nation, independence. What did Abraham say? They said, no nation ever go beyond one. Before you really corrupts. In fact, America really corrupts. And he had 200 years to 1776, is what? 1976. And what about Abraham said in 65? He said, I will no longer pray for America. Right? America is what? It's gone. See? And so, America began to decay. Politically, religiously. Right? Yes? I can tell you, America is a real country that, if they will return back to God. And of course, there are churches and preachers telling them to go back to God, come back to the Lord. What do you think they do? They are happy with the church. And what do they have in church? What do they call? They have a church dinner, church party, whatever. They go there for social. It's a social gospel they are preaching. That's what they have. And that's what churches are today, many of them. They are preaching a social gospel. They will not, they find it hard to get the truth across to the people. And you know one thing, the only thing that can change you and me is the truth. The truth will set us free. You know? If it is hard truth, it only makes you feel good. It doesn't set you free. Right? Yes, yes. Why do people like junk food? What you tell me, why do people like junk food? Why do they love hamburger, cheeseburger, Kentucky fried chicken? Why do they love all those man-made products, especially packaging? Why do they love this junk food? Because it is junk! That's what it is! And our bodies, our dying body, we crave for something that is junk. Because we are carnal, we are junky. That's what we are. You know, try to eat something that is healthy. You find it hard to eat, right? How many realize that? Huh? Eat food in its real form. You find it hard to eat. Tell you how to eat. And we want to add this chemical, add that chemical. And one of the chemicals I put in the food, I didn't know about it, but in the 60s I found it. It was aspartame. You know what that is, don't you? You know, and you, today, those people, those of you who suffer from diabetes, you don't take sugar, you take sweetener. What do you call it? It's different name they have. Artificial sweetener. They have all kinds of names. Sucralose. You know what sucralose is? When I was told that David Coleman told me they remove two chemicals out of that and then put chlorine in. What? This FDA in America, I mean most of the food is controlled by FDA in that country. And when they export it, everything about FDA, you tend to look at the box and everything like that. You don't know what you are looking at. All kind of funny chemical, HN2O2O5555, and all the funny number. You don't know what that is, and you are eating all of that junk. And those chemicals give you a kick, make you a high. How many of you bite into a cheeseburger? You know what a cheeseburger tells you that? Because you feel on high. That's I remember I told you I had this this kidney stone. It was so painful. You know, my brother brought me there. It was so painful. I told him, you give me a simple jab, doesn't work. I said, I think you need to give me morphine. I never tried morphine before. It was so painful, he put a morphine. You know, the feeling, you know, the pain goes very fast, and you feel good. You know, you have such a high sense of, you know, you just feel like heaven. That's what morphine does to a person. That's what drugs does to a person. And this is what junk food does to you. You see? And so America is in this state religiously. They are not going to eat the real food of God. They are taking all the mixture. Mix with this, mix with that. And that's why roja, fruit salad we call roja, is good. Why? Because of the heko. That one, of course, is fermented taste. We all love it. We eat it. Alright, so we're going to end this here. And that is how Americanism began to change over time. When, you know, the political system went down, the religious system went down, a lot of dishonesty among the politicians, right? You all know her? Yes, sir. You wrote your history, what Bush had done, what all these others have done. They are not president like it was in the days of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, you know. Those men, I remember Abraham Lincoln, before he made any decision, he went to his room in the office and God went down on his knees and prayed. Because he's a real Christian. He wanted to govern his people righteously. Because so when he passed the law about the freedom for the black, man, it was a big problem. You know, when you fight for it. You see, because if you have the love of God, you have the real born again experience, you know what the love of God is. Set people free. But today, America is already down and out, and so of course the secular power has entered into the church. That's why the church is today so organized, so political. Right? So we are here, and the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace again, Lord, for your word of truth. We ask for your blessing, Lord, in what we have learned. Live right, Father, before you and walk in thy light. We commit our life to you, Lord, that you continue to guide us, chastise us, O Lord, should we walk out of the path of righteousness. O Lord, that we may walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, O Lord. Father, we thank you for the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we have. So we commit ourselves to you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.